You've heard AM, you've heard FM. Now, tune into DM Radio, the world's longest running show about data. Each week, host Eric Cavanaugh interviews the brightest minds in the world of information management. Want to be on a show? Send an email to info@dmradio.biz. Now, here's your host, Eric Cavanaugh.
Gentlemen, hello and welcome back once again to the longest running show in the world about data. It's called DM Radio. Yes, indeed, yours truly, Eric Cavanaugh here. And the topic for today, it's a good one. It's going to help us understand more about the whole data world. In fact, this kind of technology and this whole best practice, if you will, is all geared around furthering the understanding of your data. So the topic is a data catalog. We're going to talk about a couple different kinds of data catalogs today. The more modern versions that are all about really understanding your corporate data, understanding definitions of different things like customer and revenue or whatever the case may be. But then also catalogs are used in data security and for watching out for troublemakers who are out there trying to hack into our systems, which, you know, happens every freaking day these days. It's just constant, the attacks. I get reports all the time. And you got to watch out for that. So, but it's all about data catalogs and how they can help us better understand the world around us. We're going to hear from several great guests. We have Ken Barth from Catalogic on the line, Tim Gasper from Data.World, and Nathan Teresky from a company called Informatica that I've done some work with over the years. Very cool company based out of I think Redwood City, maybe out there in Silicon Valley.
That's correct. Yep.
But yes, indeed, I've been to the headquarters a long time ago, right when my journey in data began back in, I guess it was 2001. So a lot has changed in 21 years, but a lot's still the same. And Nathan, I'll throw it over to you to tell us what you folks are doing. I know Informatica has been, you know, one of the stalwart vendors in the data integration space and the data management space now for decades. What's the latest with you and data catalogs?
Yeah, thanks. And great being here today. And thanks. Informatica has actually been around for a bit over 25 years. So in today's day and age, that's a lifetime. As you mentioned, decades. We're focused on data management. Data cataloging is the area that I'm focusing on, along with data privacy and data security. And then as part of a bigger picture, you know, data cataloging fits into a category that we call data governance. So it kind of covers a bit more broadly than data cataloging, but data cataloging tends to be the tip of the spear. It's the starting point for most journeys into the world of data governance. You have to understand where your data is. You have to understand where it's going in order to start making decisions, informed decisions, and hopefully intelligent decisions on how to use that data responsibly or how to protect that data from the kinds of abuses that we see today in order to derive trust from that data so it can be used responsibly. You know, that's where we see data cataloging, whether you're doing this on premises, whether you're moving to the cloud, certainly over the last last decade or so, especially after the pandemic, we're seeing a big acceleration towards cloud-hosted services. So, yeah, we play in these spaces and offer a variety of different data cataloging products that customers are using to essentially build trust in the data, understand that data, and understand how it's being used today and how they can use it more effectively in the future.
Yeah, and that's a real good concept to bring in here, trust, right? Because if you don't trust your data, you're not going to use your data, and that happens all the time. People lose trust in the data and they go to some alternate system or they go with gut instinct or whatever. But I think increasingly that's not going to be an option. I mean, you're going to have trust in your data, especially if you're in a large enterprise. You're going to need some kind of technology. And we were joking before the show that business dictionaries have been around for decades and decades and decades. It's nothing new, but it was sort of an offline resource that you had to rely on someone to go to and check. And it wasn't dynamically connected to your operational systems. And that's kind of where we're heading, right? Is for the data catalog to be this intermediary that offers meaning and lineage and control points, et cetera, around the information assets to enable responsible use of that information, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, just think about the proliferation of data, you know, just not just in the last few years, but it's been building for a long time now that there's much more data. It's proliferated. It's spread across the organization. The pandemic that we're now starting to hopefully get away from and move on from, that's created a new environment for us to deal with. You know, you have a lot more users, a lot more consumers in the organization that are now working remote, spread in diverse places. you know, the enterprise as a model is changing, and with it, so is that data. That data is proliferating to locations and places that we may not have expected. So it's really critical to have transparency into where that data is going, and that catalog helps, as you said, tie it together to better understand where's my data, who's using it, where is it going, and can I trust it? What are those indicators of those different data sets? Maybe it's customer information, maybe it's your own intellectual property, maybe it's information related to sensitive data that you need to protect for regulatory reasons and otherwise, or maybe you just want to understand the value of it for using it in different value creation opportunities. All this understanding, it really starts with the catalog, and you know, I think everyone on the call today is very enthusiastic about you know, where you can actually take data once you can expose it responsibly and have that trust assurance, and have consumers across your organization trust that it's available for their needs.
Yeah, right. And I think that we all agree too that the pandemic really spurred the data catalog space on. And in part because all of a sudden we had folks who were working remotely and could not go into the office. And so guess what? You better come up with some way to expose the data they need in a responsible way. And I think that helped fuel the catalog space. But what do you think?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And one thing that is also a big shift is that, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago, you know, when data analytics started to take off, this data was purely in the hands of the data scientists. They were trying to understand that data, understand its relevancy, and then use it for different analytic uses. And so what we've seen is a huge shift towards what we're calling data democratization. Data democratization is simply that there are more consumers in the organization that want to mine that data, to want to understand that data for their value creation opportunities. So whether you're in maybe human resources, whether you're in marketing, you're in some other program where you're now responsible for the bottom line to figure out how that data can be transformed. And again, used responsibly, but used for these value creation opportunities. You know, maybe a better understanding of your customers, maybe to understand what kinds of products and services are going to be more appropriate and build more stickiness or loyalty for your customer base. So it's gone beyond the, you know, the data science use and now into much more use cases as data has become the lifeblood of our, you know, economy.
Yeah, we know what's interesting too is that, we talk a lot about data governance on this show, and there's something which I think until 5 or 10 years ago, I suppose, was really difficult to pull off. I mean, you could give access controls at the database level or at the tool level, let's say, in a BI environment or something. You could have access controls, but in between, you couldn't really do that, but now you can. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes sense that the catalog should be woven together with the governance structures. And that also touches on security too, right? So you're kind of touching on multiple things that all revolve around responsible use of data, right?
Yeah, and you can think of data governance as two sides of the same coin. I think historically, you know, privacy and security, understanding the data in terms of what was sensitive data, cataloging that data, classifying that data as sensitive was useful because of all the compliance mandates. You know, we're now a few years removed from the GDPR, but California, for example, has, you know, the CCPA. It's a new, you know, there's new state mandated privacy regulations that are out there to protect data privacy, you know, certainly all the abuses and security issues that are out there. But then the flip side of, or the other side of that coin is, well, we still want to use that data. We can't just simply lock it down perpetually. We have to be able to make it available to those stakeholders in the, you know, in and across the organization that can see the value in that data and want to build those types of programs that improve the bottom line, improve customer stickiness, and perhaps give us new insights into how to build better operational efficiencies or create other types of value that are important for the particular domain that you may be working on.
That's an interesting point you just brought up about operational efficiencies. And I think that's a great sign that you're mentioning that, because what does it mean? It means that we're at a place now where understanding the data and the information sources can play a strategic role in redesigning business processes, right? That's what you're talking about, is changing a business process, infusing it with data in some responsible way. That's pretty cool, because now we're squarely in the space of digital transformation, right?
Right. Well, and even Informatica, we like to position our product as being a catalog of catalogs, because they're catalogs that you can be departmental, you can be localized. Being able to understand where data is coming from and even tap into those sort of sub-catalogs, as it were, and be able to understand like all the different data sources across your environment, aggregate them together, and then also to then from there understand the quality of that data, understand where that data is coming from, how it's being used across the organization, can start to build those those insights into how to make that data flow or those information value chains, as they were, a bit more efficient and make them available to the right people in the right context for the right use cases. And so, yeah, it's all about those efficiencies. How do I connect the producers of the data or the data sources with the consumers of that data? There's quite a bit of operational efficiency in terms of understanding those data sets. And there's a lot going on right now in both sides. You know, you can connect the right producers, right consumers. You can encourage data literacy and bring together the right groups of people. They can find new ways to collaborate and again, democratize that data for additional value creation.
That's great. That's great stuff. Information value chains. I like that. I'm going to write that down. Let's bring in Tim Gasper from Data.World. Nathan's sticking around for the roundtable. Another very cool company that has a very cool background, Data.World. You're now very strong in the data catalog space. Tell us a bit about what you folks are doing there and how you're helping to increase the value, the usage of data responsibly.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Eric, for having me on the show. VP of Product over at Data.World, also co-host at Catalog and Cocktails, a podcast around data management. And Data.World's been around for over 6 years now, but I think folks kind of recognize us being in the catalog and governance space a little bit more recently, because we actually started over 6 years ago as an open data catalog. And so we were connecting to the world's data, and that exists today. It's the world's largest open data catalog. Anybody can sign up for free. It's an intelligent Facebook-like experience around data. But really what happened is about 4 years ago, a lot of enterprises were saying, wow, you created this like really engaging Facebook-like, Amazon-like experience around open data. We want to bring that into our own enterprise, right? We want to have that Amazon or Facebook-like experience internally where people can collaborate around data, find data, and leverage sort of the intelligence that you are providing being built on a knowledge graph, which we can maybe talk a little bit more about later. To really provide a more intelligent and engaging experience for people trying to work with their data. And so that's what we've been focused on recently, is really providing this engaging, highly adopted sort of data environment for people to find data and work around data.
Yeah, that's very cool stuff. And you know, just to kind of explain this to our audience, think about when you're in some information system and you're appending it with notes. Like think about CRM systems, right? You're appending it with notes. What we're really talking about here is enabling collaboration around the definition of terms and the meaning of terms and helping people understand how to stitch all that stuff together. So especially at a large organization, let's say a product organization, we have tons and tons and tons of different products, that can be a bit of a morass to get into and to understand. And so what we're trying to do is provide a framework and a set of processes or workflows around defining the terms and then sharing those definitions and collaborating with people such that folks can onboard more quickly, but so that folks can really dive into particular domains of expertise in the organization and really figure out, number one, what are we doing as an organization? But then number two, how does that fit into the broader world? Is that about right, Tim?
Yeah, no, I think that was a really great explanation, Eric. And there's actually two analogies that I like to use most often when talking about catalogs and the value that it provides around sort of working with data and then managing data responsibly. One of them is the analogy of the library, right? Like, you know, when you're going into the library, you want to look up a certain subject, right? And if you want to be a responsible sort of librarian, you need to organize the book such that people can find it, such that it's in logical places, such that you can't lose track of those things. And when people want to go find it, they need to be able to use the computer terminal to search for it or be able to browse around the aisles and for it to make a lot of sense where these things are organized, right? So one analogy is sort of this library analogy. Another one, which I think is maybe even more apt, is more of the marketplace analogy, right? It's where you really want to go to buy something, and this something happens to be really important. It happens to be, you know, data that's going to be what you make your sales decisions on, or maybe if you're a retail organization, you're trying to decide new locations. These are really important products that you're going to buy from this quote-unquote marketplace. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you want is a great retail experience, right? So you walk in the store and you want to be able to see what data is available, what's the most important data, what's not the most important data. You want to be able to talk to the right experts that can guide you to the right data. And if you have a problem with it, you can come back to the store and you can return it or get a repair or what that might be, right? That sort of retail experience. But then it's also the trust of that data. It's, hey, mm-hmm. what's the supply chain that got this data product to this store in the first place, mm-hmm. right? Can I trust the factory created it the right way? And what trucks did it take and what warehouses did it stop at on its way over here? So I think that's really what catalogs are all about, is like providing you that library and that marketplace around your data so that you can see it. You have that traceability such that you can interact with it. You can collaborate around it, and you can really extract a lot more value out of your data.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, I've been in this business for about 20 odd years now. So I've been kind of watching the evolution. Data warehousing, of course, has been around for 40, 50 years. And then about 20 or so years ago, you saw master data management really come around, and a number of different companies came along to provide master data management solutions for both operations and analytics, right? You have analytical MDM, operational MDM. And I'm kind of wondering, did data catalogs really come on to prominence in the last few years, in part because we never really fully got the value we expected from MDM? Or where does MDM begin and data catalogs end, I suppose? I'd throw that over to you, Tim. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I think that master data management and that movement, it's still going today, although maybe it's not quite as hot as it was at that time, right? It's really still around, how do you reconcile data integration? Like, how do you bring different data sources together in a smart way to get like that one view of the customer or that one view of the product or something like that? And that's still super important. And you see a lot of data integration projects still focused around master data management. I think catalogs and governance solutions play an important part together in conjunction with master data management. But I think that there are a couple other trends that really pushed catalog even more than just sort of the master data management trend. It's really more around, first of all, self-service. The idea that we really want anybody in the organization, hey, you've got Excel. You may not think of it like this, but you technically have a business intelligence solution sitting on your desktop, right?
Right.
And now we want to add people to Tableau and to, you know, to Power BI, to all these other, there's a new modern tools as well, right? And now you even have the advent of sort of these modern AI tools, right? Where Dataku, Domino Labs, you know, Hex right. is a new player. And so if you want to have these tools, you want to create self-service around data, then you have to have visibility and trustability and access to that data for it to make sense.
Interesting.
So, I think that's one really big trend here. And I think the other one is really around sort of the complexity around data. Like you had the big data movement, which was really big. You know, a technology, Hadoop, became really, really popular for a period there.
Yeah.
For a second there, we all kind of thought that maybe Hadoop was going to be the saving grace, that kind of we bring all our data together and magic will happen and you know, we'll solve world peace with Hadoop. The truth is, as probably we should have expected, it's just a piece of a larger, you know, technology right. ecosystem.
That's right.
But, you know, volume, velocity, all this stuff, it's all really important and part of that.
It's still out there, too. It's getting rolled in. But don't touch that dial, folks. We'll be right back. You're listening to DM Radio.
Welcome back to DM Radio. Here's your host, Eric Cavanaugh.
All right, folks, back here on DM Radio, talking all things data catalogs today. We're talking to several cool companies in the space. We've heard from Informatica and Data.World. And next up is Catalogic. We have Ken Barth calling in, CEO of Catalogic. And they do a different kind of catalog to protect us from all these hackers out there and all this ransomware, which is just everywhere these days. It's crazy. But Ken, tell us a bit about yourself and your company and how you are enabling the use of data catalogs.
Well, Dave, Eric, first of all, I want to thank you because I think very few people have ever called me one of the brightest minds in the world. And I love that tagline. It's absolutely perfect, right?
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you, you know, it says it in our name. I mean, we're in the security and data protection space and been there for 20 plus years. We have over a 20-year history, Eric, of, you know, protecting some of the world's largest data. And it's interesting, we decided to call the company Catalogic for a reason, right? Because we really believe the catalog is at the core of everything. And so we use catalogs in multiple different ways. We use catalogs for a backup. We use catalogs for cataloging actions in our cybersecurity products, right? We have two main lines of business. DPX, which is our flagship backup product. We've added ransomware protection to that. And again, we use a catalog to look and map customer actions. And if you think about it, you're managing all this data. You have to find ways to really be able to track. I think Nathan and Tim both mentioned data governance. It's huge here. you have to find a way to map and track the data that you bring into your organization. Mm-hmm. And then once you have that, you have to perform and be actionable with it. So I really think it's been a long time coming, that I think the catalog is kind of the next step, if you will, in this whole migration of bringing structured, unstructured, and semi-structured data together so you can make good business decisions. And as part of that, we're certainly using that at Catalogic to make sure that your backups and that your cyber resiliency, if you're going into the cloud, is there with you. Right.
Yeah. Cyber resiliency. That's a good term to use as well. Right. And you made a couple really good comments there. One, I love that you brought in the fact that you can use these catalogs to better understand the synthesis of structured and unstructured data. Right. Because the unstructured data typically provides the context to help you better understand the structured data and what it actually means. Right. Data without context is meaningless.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say there's actually three kinds. There's structured data, there's unstructured, have semi-structured data, right? And one brings its own information to play here and could be valuable. I think it was Nathan mentioning, depending on the perspective that you're bringing to the problem you're trying to solve, right? So we are in such a data swamp out there right now. We collect information, and if you can't somehow organize and tag that, you're in a lot of trouble. And I really feel the organizations that will be able to organize it, tag it, are the ones that are going to win in a big way.
And it's interesting, you bring up tagging. So, we talk about machine learning on this show. I had a guy who is one of the foremost experts in the machine learning space and artificial intelligence. And he was talking about the tagging part of the process. And it's funny because what he said is that in their experience, a very small percentage of people are very good at that process.
Absolutely.
So you want to be careful about who you put in charge of tagging things, because if they don't tag it responsibly or consistently, you got a mess, right?
That's why, Eric, with machine learning, you're seeing that process get automated to an extent. Now, you have to still build out the problem, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what you're going to see is a subset of catalogs that'll be running businesses, depending on perspective. And I think Nathan that mentioned a catalog of catalogs, like a master catalog, right? Mm-hmm. And we actually touched in the break, we touched on master data management, right? And to me, master data management was a manual attempt from organizations to try to build the master of master catalogs, mm-hmm. right? When in actually what you really want is data syncing, with different kinds of catalogs.
Right.
Nathan mentioned using, as an example, of data of record, which is really your customer information, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at what happens a lot in organizations, you'll have one customer record that maybe is in a product like Salesforce.com, but over here in Oracle, you have a whole different customer record with different information. And bringing those together into one master data manager requires those two groups, right? Well, if you can bring a catalog together and then have a master catalog on top, and you can bring, automated, but I think you're going to stand a better chance of getting that done a lot quicker. That's just my opinion, right, as I see it.
No, that's interesting. And I think you're right that with the advent of machine learning, we are going to be able to revisit how we do almost everything in data. I mean, that's already happening right now. We've got concepts like self-driving data. There's a company we've had on the show a few times, Atacama, that's doing some very cool work in the sort of self-driving data space. And it's just a different form of automation. But, for example, I'm always loading spreadsheets of registrants into our email marketing applications, for example. And you can learn over time, okay, he's logging into the system. Every time he's done it before, he's taken a marketing database and put it over here. So I think what we're going to start seeing is automation, but also automation of suggestions, right? Because it may be that this time I want to do something differently, even though 99 times up until now I did it all the same, I may want to do something different next time. So what we're going to see is more and more of these suggestions for people, like within the console where you're working as an information worker, you're going to have a suggestion come in. Hey, do you want to pull in this data source? Do you want to do that based upon your history? That's very clever, because it doesn't automate something that you don't want automated, but it does automate something that's valuable, because the user will probably want to do that. And so you're kind of saving a half step, if that makes sense. What do you think about that?
Eric, it makes a ton of sense. And what you're really saying is that there's a lot of information that go into making that decision
right.
that you might not be privy to, and it's trying to suggest to you the right decision to make. And that's really where the metadata, you know, becomes involved, right? There are really three kinds of metadata. I mean, you can have data, which are schemas and tables, mm-hmm. and this is how your database, your other databases are laid out, right? And a good machine learning product kind of all that. You got the business metadata, which if I'm in Salesforce.com, I'm making notes. They're in the margin, right?
Right.
Finally, you have operational metadata, like how recently was this, this field refreshed, right? And if you take all that, you really need to take that to make a suggestion in your case, Eric, you know, as to which way you should go. Here's what I suggest, Eric, right? That's why the technology's here, where you can start building some of these things and really get some unbelievable automation. Hmm. And I think Tim was referring to that a little bit earlier, that it'll almost become a self-service thing. So people aren't going to panic every time Eric comes and tries to import a marketing list, right? Because we know he's not going to blow our schemas away or put, the European date format in where we want the other format, right? It'll really clean it up. And I think it'll solve a lot of issues. We have a long way to go, don't get me wrong, but I think a lot of this is really starting to happen. And if you look at it, particularly from a catalogic perspective, if I'm using this for cyber resiliency, I need to really be able to track user actions. That's the key. The key mm-hmm. is a file looks like it was corrupted. Who touched that file? Well, it looks like Eric or Nathan touched that file. Well, what else did they do after that? Where did they go after that? Right. If I have a catalog of that, then I can go back and I can tell the customer that, look, because the two big issues that we fight in our business are recoverability. How quick can you recover? And oh, my mm-hmm. God, what was affected? Mm-hmm. Right. So if I can put a box around those two things and I can bring that back for you quickly, I'm going to win the game. Yeah. And a catalog is key for that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. And in the back of my mind, I'm sitting here thinking of another example I can throw at you. And this is a bit of a curveball, but just in terms of the value that a catalog can provide, and we talked about master data management and other ways of sort of reconciling disparate information systems, right? And I think to myself, company size, right? We wound up standardizing on whatever it is that LinkedIn goes by. It's like 1-0 to 10 right. or 1-10, 11-50, whatever the case may be. But you go different places and those numbers change dramatically. It might be 10,000 to 49,000. It might be 10,000 to 24,000 or whatever. And so the key is, how do you reconcile that? How do you normalize that data? And I think that's one, I mean, this is a fairly simple example, but that's one place where a data catalog can be the place where you come together and decide upon that and say, okay, we're going to go with this version. I want to translate this 5,000 set of records that we have to fit over to this version. And it's, like I say, it's kind of a menial detail, but it's an important detail at some point in time. What do you think about that as just a metaphor for what we have to work on? I may have lost him. I'll throw it over to Tim to comment on that. And like I say, it's kind of a silly thing to worry about, but what do you think about that, Tim?
No, I think that's a really good connection there. And I think that, you know, that there's a lot of the sort of the rules and the semantics that are really important when it comes to data that a catalog can play a really important role in. And it's usually the simplest concepts that we struggle with the most as businesses, right? Like, what is a phone number? And how should we represent it, right? Mm-hmm. What is active customer? Well, that's a customer that's been active in the last 12 months. No, it's not. It's the last 36 months. Well, what? We have different definitions, right?
Right.
And a catalog plays, I think, an important role, not just in sort of the automated discovery of things, but also then coming together and saying, hey, let's align on meeting.
Yeah, and I think that we talked about this on a show a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's going to be a common theme of prioritization. What do I work on today? And I think that the catalog is a good tool for being able to, number one, identify where we have disparate definitions. Maybe I'll throw this one over to Nathan to see, hey, wait a minute, we've got different definitions on what an active customer is. Who are the people involved? Who are the stakeholders? Let's get them together. But if you do it through the tool, well, now guess what? Depending upon which tool that is, it can be dynamic, meaning it's connected to other systems. So you change a policy and now it is changed. The policy is changed and it's changed in effect right? Whereas before, you had to send an email, like, okay, from now on, this is what it should be. And, you know, half the people read the email, half the people didn't. You haven't done much at all. In fact, you've just made matters worse. What do you think about all that, Nathan?
Yeah. So, well, you talked earlier about trustworthiness, and that's a big part of data cataloging. And when you break that down a little bit further, trustworthiness is often a function of quality and privacy of data. So let's just put privacy aside for 1 second. The quality of that data is critically important. And now we just heard, you know, quite a bit of discussion around automation, AI, ML being critically important to accelerate a lot of the insights, a lot of the data intelligence you can derive from a catalog. But one thing I'd also would like to touch on a little bit too is just this idea overall of organizational data literacy. So it's important to have AI and ML, these sorts of modern, you know, technologies to help accelerate how we derive data intelligence. But it's also important to bring together all of the stakeholders in the organization that are data stewards, that are consumers and producers, and have them have an environment for them to be able to collaborate. So if I were to use like an analogy, like when you go to Amazon.com and you like search on a product, that's very similar to the way you might, you know, search in a catalog. You know, you're looking for something in particular, maybe not a data set, maybe it might be a product. But then you rely upon all of the various comments, the ratings, the scoring. You're actually trying to find some value in that data, and you're relying upon your organization also to provide their input. So there is that sort of tribal knowledge that's locked up in an organization. You don't want it to remain in silos. The catalog can be very critical in bringing together all of those individuals so they have a place to collaborate. They have a place to be able to comment on those data sets and also be able to determine the trustworthiness and value of consuming that data as it's exposed to more individuals in the organization. So I mentioned data democratization and earlier, you know, I was mentioned this concept of a marketplace. That ultimately is the end game. You know, the way that Informatica sees it is that you can find the data, you can trust the data, but then ultimately you want to use that data and you want to use it to create value. You make it available in the marketplace where then the different organizations can come together, understand the data, understand how others have found value in that data, and look at the quality of that data, profile that data to understand it a bit better. So the two go hand in hand, AI and ML, automating, accelerating, discovery and lineage, and then also the human aspect, which can't be ignored. You know, a catalog can still help to provide that environment.
Yeah, I know that's a really, really good point. And I just got myself thinking here about retail environments and for, you know, for example, this marketplace concept is fantastic, just by the way. I'll just throw that out there. It's a really great way to look at the world. And it also enables self-service much more, right? I've got a good friend of mine in the industry, Donald Farmer, who came up with this really great metaphor to describe the changing role of IT and IT professionals, especially in the data space. He says in the on-prem world, they were more like the gatekeepers to protect the machinery, and we don't want to break our schemas and that kind of thing. But in this new world of self-service and cloud-based, you want them to be more like shopkeepers to show the different people where the stuff is, right? Which is it's a dramatic and significant change, but it kind of speaks to the evolution of the technologies and what's available. Real quick, right, Nathan?
Absolutely. No, data marketplaces are the future. You know, it's how do I connect the producers with the consumers, and how do I make that information available so that if, as a consumer, I don't have to dig into the space of the data scientists. I don't have to search down across the organization, send out a bunch of emails, and look through a bunch of spreadsheets. I have one place to collaborate, and I have one place to accelerate my value creation opportunities as opposed to my data curation and data discovery capabilities.
That's right. Well, you want an assembly line basically for data, and you don't want every person having to try to do every job in the assembly line. That makes no sense at all. That's why you have an assembly line. Here's where the data is pulled. Here's where the data is curated. Here's where the data is enriched. And then at the end of that process, you have the data in the marketplace that some user can come grab and not have to worry about the extraction, the pipelines, all that stuff. You don't want those people worrying about that. You want them using the data, leveraging the data to make better decisions. But folks, we'll be right back. You are listening to DM Radio.
Welcome back to DM Radio. Here's your host, Eric Cavanaugh.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, back here on DM Radio, talking all things data catalogs with an all-star cast. Here we've got Tim Gasper from Data.World, Nathan Taraski from Informatica, and Ken Barth from Catalogic. And, you know, maybe I'll throw this first question over to Ken. one of the really coolest things about data catalogs, and I'm always thinking in terms of processes and onboarding people, if you hire someone to come into the organization, that's a great place to have them start to go looking around, right? To understand what does your business hold? What are the information assets? All that kind of fun stuff. It's a fun little project. And I even think I had someone on a show a couple of years ago who said, yeah, that's exactly what we do. So because it's such a resource of information, of definitions, and it touches everything depending upon, you know, how thorough it is. But what do you think about all that?
I'll throw it over. Look, I think if you have a catalog, number one, right? A lot of times it's a series of Excel spreadsheets, right? Mm-hmm. It is kind of what it is, right? You know, go, you know, read product brochures, get Excel spreadsheets. You know, if you're good enough to work for a larger company like an Informatica, like Nathan is, you probably have a really good training and induction program. But a smaller company like ours and the ones I've usually been involved in, it's a catalog would be an absolute home run. Let me say it that way, Eric, right? Mm. And it'd be a great place to send somebody because then it's a guidebook on how to touch on things. That's one of the valuable things about a catalog. A catalog can be a catalog of catalogs, if you will, right? So If I'm coming in as a salesperson, I don't necessarily need to know what the operational aspect of it is, what our backup situation is in the company, right? What I need to know is, hey, customer records, purchase orders, you know, what is the financing process? How do you process an order, right? What are the travel policies of the company? Those are the things I need to know, right? Mm-hmm. And I can easily get pointed to each one of those catalogs, if you will, to look at it, or have one reservoir, if you will.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And Tim, maybe I'll bring you into this one too, because I'm sure you've seen lots of different examples of catalogs, because it's all over the map in terms of what you define in them and how you use them. But what's interesting to me is, like, a lot of these things, these topics, these concepts come around and they go away, and they come back around and they go away. Think of like a portal. Like, remember your intranet? You used to have an intranet all the time, and now they're coming back as portals, as like customer analytics portals or things of this nature. That's the interface through which you see the world. A catalog underneath something like that is very powerful, right, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it ties into your question in the comments by Ken there that, you know, a lot of times, data is becoming a really important part of our jobs, right? It becomes a central part of what the knowledge worker has to work with. And so you want to have access to your data through a data portal in the same way that you have your employee portal. And I actually think of like an example, one of our customers at Data.World, very large consultancy, they have over 50,000 employees and over 22,000 of them are actually users in the catalog.
Wow.
And so that's really kind of what you can get to when you have broad adoption of a data portal, of a data catalog, and they actually integrate their data catalog with their intranet. So when you go into the intranet and you search for things, right, you're not just getting results of, you know, wiki pages and, benefits portals and stuff like that. You're also getting data results and analytics results directly in your employee portal. And I think you're going to see more of that kind of thing happen as more and more, like what Nathan said, people embrace this data democratization approach.
Go ahead, Tim.
One thing to what Tim said. He mentioned 22,000. So the way business looks at that is 22,000 people. That's wonderful they've have access, but you have 22,000 chances to make a mistake and let a bad actor into your system, right? So that's why it's so important we're tracking those actions. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we've democratized this is fantastic, but we need to be aware that every 11 seconds somebody gets hacked. And I just wanted to add that, right? For anybody considering any of this out there, you've got to make sure you've got it buttoned down and you have good data governance, as Nathan was saying, and you've got a way to kind of protect yourself against.
Yeah, governance and democratization are two sides of the same coin. The more you do one better, the more you can do the other better.
That's exactly right. Yeah, Nathan, maybe I'll throw this one over to you too. The other really nice thing about these catalogs is that you can track their usage, and then you understand what's hot, who's using them, who's not. And then you can kind of go back and see, all right, well, did this marketing campaign work or did it not work? Well, I can tell you from being years in that business, it's a very difficult thing to figure out. Attribution is very difficult. I mean, there are some amazing tools these days. And then like leading them, it's like, they don't even do attribution. I'm like, what do you mean don't do attribution? Like, you sure sound like you do attribution. It's a very difficult thing to determine, but it's another resource to help us understand what's happening. Right, Nathan?
Yeah, well, and you talked about the concept a little bit earlier, this notion of metadata, right? It's not just the data itself, but it's that insight into the data, the metadata or the data about the data that's highly important for those in the organizations that are trying to make intelligent data-driven decisions. So at the end of the day, you know, catalogs have historically been more of a technical tool. You know, the data scientists, the analytics leaders, the analysts, they've largely employed the data catalog. But I think the one topic that we keep, you know, coming back to is this idea that democratization and a marketplace is going to open up that data to more consumers. And just to, you know, again, play the devil's advocate, there might be, you know, situations because of abuses, because of security concerns, and because of regulatory requirements that you may not want to necessarily expose all of your data. But the more you can do that responsibly, the more you can build trust assurance into the equation, the more that you can open up these marketplaces, as it were, so that the consumers across the organization can not only find the data they need, but to kind of understand the effectiveness and, again, the quality of that data, so they can make better decisions. They can bring together data sets that they may not even been aware of before. They can use that sort of Google-like search capability in a way to almost like web surf through their data sets and understand like what data sets might be relevant to a particular program. You know, if I'm trying to build a customer loyalty program, I'm trying to offer better products and services to my consumers, I want to understand all those different data sets about that consumer. So what you're largely seeing is this major transformation happening over the last few years, where it's gone from being cataloging being a technical tool to understand the data to now more of a tool that enables those value creation opportunities across my organization. So what better place than a catalog to bring together both the business side and the technical side together to collaborate, bring together the producers of the data with the collaborators and the consumers of that data. It can actually act as a hub for all of that understanding, improving your data literacy and making you as an organization more effective at using that data in ways that you might not have even dreamed of before.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And Tim, maybe I'll throw it over to you. Again, it's a great conduit for better understanding the business and for having conversations about things, about programs, about organizational hierarchies, whatever the case may be. If you embrace it thoroughly, it becomes that hub that Nathan mentioned, right? So it's not just a data hub, it's an organizational hub that helps you understand who's doing what and where we can align. And what I love so much about the collaborative capabilities of today's technologies is that it's just completely game changing. It's something as simple as Google Sheets, for example, or Google Docs. The fact that now I, you, and 10 other people can all log into the same document, see who's where, comment on it in real time. Holy Christmas. I mean, that is a sea change from the way it used to be, where I did it on my machine, then I emailed all of you, and you all did it separately, and you emailed it back, and then I tried to like parse all that together. Good luck.
And yet it's really scary at the same time, because now the conversation is happening in so many places. Like, how do you keep track of it? Like, oh, wait, that one Google Doc you sent me that one day, that one time, why is Google not finding it when I'm searching for it? Like, I think that this is the funny situation we find ourselves in now. We're like, we have so much collaboration at our fingertips, and yet it has become harder than ever to find that one piece of information. So I think catalogs becoming a hub, not just of the data, but of the organizational knowledge and of the organizational conversation is really important, whether directly in your catalog, like comments and things like that, or integrating with things like Slack and Teams and these places where the conversations are happening, where you want to have back and forth, push and pull with your catalog, really turn your catalog into something operational.
That's the quote right there. And maybe I'll throw it back over to Nathan just to comment on, you want it to be operational. You want it to be a center hub for discussions, for activities, for your business, right, Nathan?
Yeah, no, and I thought that was actually great to bring up that analogy of something like a Google Docs, because it works in very much the same way. You know, you've got maybe data in a spreadsheet, and you want to be able to bring together your collaborators in order to be able to understand what's going on, how to use that information, and how to move forward. So increasingly, it is becoming that hub for many organizations, moving, again, from the technical to more of the business audiences, as business audience now are responsible for using data as the lifeblood of their organization to derive new value. You know, it used to be maybe that you had certain industries like financial services or healthcare or a few that were data driven. But now every organization, virtually across the board, you can find situations where, data is giving them new insights that they have to be able to harness and to be able to turn into data intelligence that can then fuel that organization. So, absolutely. You know, every organization, whether whether you're last to the table or whether it's critical to your business, you're going to find that in today's environment, you can't can't delay the implementation of a central resource, you know, to manage your data. And that is increasingly.
I was going to say, Eric, I need to compliment you on this. I had to jump in because when you named this the Dewey Decimal Classification around this, I thought that was really cool, because if you look at what this and what the whole thing we've been talking about is the decimal classification introduced the concepts of relative location and relative index, right? And we've been talking about a flexible index or catalog, if you will, this whole thing. So I thought you were spot on with what you did.
Great. I love it. I'll take that. Podcast bonus segment up next, folks. You've been listening to DM Radio. Okay, folks, time for the podcast bonus segment here on DM Radio. Your host here, Eric Cavanaugh, talking to several great experts, Ken Barth, Nathan Taraski, and Tim Gasper. And Nathan, maybe I'll throw it over to you first. How do you get started? If you're in an organization that does not have a data catalog and you realize that we need one, what does that process look like? What's your advice?
Well, first, understand who are the different stakeholders that are responsible for success. You know, it could be an analytics program. It could be a line of business. It could be your chief data officer. There's going to be some stakeholder in your organization that's going to be passionate about this, and you have to bring in the right stakeholders. It could be both technical as well as business. It could be your IT department. It can also be others in the organization that are trying to derive value. As we heard earlier, it could be a security concern. Maybe I'm just interested in understanding my particular security posture and I need those tools. But I would say start small, bring together the right stakeholders, and then scale out from there. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew initially. You want to be able to start with a project that you can understand, you know, its success. You can demonstrate success. You can show like a very easy and very quick win, because data cataloging can be I don't want to call it a lifelong journey, but it's certainly, you know, something that's going to take many years to really achieve the true full enterprise value. But you want to start small. If you can start small, identify a project, identify very specific data sets, whether they're customer, whether it's IP related, whether it's security concerns, identify that particular data set you want to start around, bring in the right people, and then scale out from there.
That sounds great. And let me throw it over to Tim Gasper from data.world. What's your advice on how to get the ball rolling?
Yeah, great question. I think we hear that a lot. How do I get started with a catalog? How do I get started with solving these use cases? Well, first is, you know, very similar to what Nathan said, understand your goals, understand your use cases, right? Establish what success means for you. Is it adoption? Is it quality? Is it engagement and enablement? Yeah. Set that up, set it to paper, right? Get people to agree on it. It's people, process, and technology. Obviously, catalog is part of the technology piece, but people and process are really important too. And then at data.world, we kind of think about three things. Discovery, right? You want to connect to things, understand them deeply as automatically as possible, take advantage of AI and machine learning. Governance, really wrap your arms around it, wrap process around it, wrap policy around it. And enablement, you really want to empower as many people in the organization to engage in the data conversation and get more value with data.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a really good way to think about this is, what is your priority? What are you trying to do? And Nathan had a great example about loyalty programs. Well, how do you figure out what to reward them and what to reward them for, right? Like, these are all things that the data can help you understand. So you perhaps use machine learning or AI or just some other statistical analysis to segment your customers, right? You got 9, 10, 11 different groups. Okay, who do we want to reward? Obviously, the loyal customers we want to reward. Understand who these people are. Like, navigate through the data. Find some similarities. It turns out they all like to sail, for example. Maybe that's an interesting angle. So the point is, it's an iterative process. I think that's what Nathan was kind of alluding to, is that it's not a once and done. It's an ongoing process, but you got to start somewhere and start climbing the mountain, right? Right, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we use a phrase, agile data governance. Think about how you can implement agile data governance within your organization.
That's a great concept. And last but not least, Ken Barth, I'll throw it over to you. Obviously, you're focused on the security space and using catalogs for that. But again, it's a mechanism of action. It's a mechanism used to kind of wrangle the data to get some understanding of truth, right, Ken?
Eric, you know what I'm going to say. Look, I mentioned it earlier. You know, for bad actors, the ultimate prize is your data. That's what they're all after, right? So the very first thing I would start with is I would start looking at building an actionable database of what my users are doing, right? And what they're after, right? I mean, and to do that, you've got to build a little bit of a governance policy. Doesn't have to be huge, but, you know, where is my data? The sensitivity of my data? Who needs the access? How quickly can I roll back? We get hacked every 11 seconds. Somebody in this country or this world is getting hacked every 11 seconds. It's the world's fastest growing business. If I want to go into business, I can right now go on some sites, download some tools that other people have written and start hacking and probably make a pretty good living. Right.
That's right. That's right.
And so that's really where I would start. This is perfect place. I'd make sure your data protection software has some kind of a cataloging ability to catalog users' actions so you can start tracking some of this. Because look, if you get hacked or ransomware, I don't know if any of you ever have lived through it. I've been lucky enough not to have, right? But I've been with a lot of people that have. This is a problem, right? It is the biggest single problem I think we face in terms of the democratization of the data, which is what we've all been talking about, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And you made a real good point earlier, too, when you said that when you have 22,000 people using your catalog, those are 22,000 endpoints.
And they're great people. They don't mean to make a mistake, right? But we all make a mistake. You just click on the wrong thing, right?
Yep.
All you need to be able to do is know where they were last. And if you can figure that out, then you can kind of start doing damage control, which is the most important thing in the whole world for you right now.
Right? That's right. Damage control. That's a good band name, by the way. Damage control. Got to look at that. Well, listen, we really enjoyed the conversation. Look these guys up online. Tim Gasper of Data.World, Ken Barth of Catalogic Software, and Nathan Taraski of Informatica. And send me an email if you want to be in the show, info@dmradio.biz. We'll talk to you next time, folks. You have been listening to DM Radio.